You're listening to Intersections Radio, the podcast where we geek out on all things intersectionality. I'm your host, Sarika Mehta. Welcome, and thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the track Internacionales from Colombia's folklorico electronico band, Bomba Estéreo. Their new album, Ayo, was released on August 11th of this year with an extensive tour starting right here in the Pacific Northwest. They've been around since 2005 and gained worldwide fame with Fuego in 2009. Since then, we've been delighted with recent hits such as Soy Yo, which celebrates that which makes each of us unique against the pressures of conformity. The day before this new album, Ayo, was released, I met with bassist and co-founder Simon Mejia at the Crystal Ballroom just before their concert. We talked about the indigenous roots influence in this new album, as well as the inspiration behind Soy Yo, which became the rallying cry against bullying in this Trump administration. This is Intersections Radio. Simon Mejia, thank you for joining me on Intersections Radio.
Hello, thank you very much for inviting me.
Tell us first a little bit about yourself and Bomba Estéreo.
Yeah, well, Bomba Estéreo is a band that was formed in Bogotá, Colombia, almost 11 years ago. Between me and Liliana, we have 5 albums now out, and it has been a really nice ride, you know, especially because the band has developed very strong around doing shows and playing live. More than making records, has been like 10 years or 11 of touring and playing all around the world, so we're very grateful and happy with this new album that we're presenting now.
Right, Ayo, the album will be released digitally on August 11th. What is new about this album? How does it differ from your other albums?
Yeah, well, I think every album has something different because for me, music goes by the hand with life. No, it's changing constantly. And your tastes are also changing constantly depending on what you hear or what you're living in that period of your life. So I think music is like a living organism almost. So every album one makes is different from the other because you are different as a person. And in this case, well, first of all, Liliana and me are fathers now. No, we have kids, so our life has changed a lot. And we did the album half in Colombia in a very special and spiritual place that is called Sierra Nevada Santa Marta. That is like a mountain in the Caribbean coast. And that is a really strong place for the indigenous culture in our country. And we decided to do this album, like go a little bit back to our roots and go back to Colombia. That in the previous one we got a little bit far. So we did have the album there and have the album in LA. So the album has the two energies and it's beautiful, no? How the two energies live in the same, so different energies from so different places as LA and Sierra Nevada live together in one album. So
those are two diametrically opposing places. I mean, Los Angeles and a spiritual mountain that has indigenous roots. Talk about how that plays out in your music.
Yeah, it's funny because it's trying, like, obviously Los Angeles is it's like the more pop side of the album, no, like the more commercial stuff of the album, and the other is like us trying to not be so commercial, so it's like a fight between both. The weirdest thing is that they seem different, but nowadays the world is so crazy that you can find people in so different places but thinking like the same, no? Just thinking about the earth and what's happening today in the world and like in the same frequency, in mental frequency. So we try to hang with those kind of people wherever we go.
So that's maybe the theme of, or the writing force between the music in this particular album.
Yeah, more or less. It's very eclectic. We have a little bit of everything. What we have different from the previous ones is that we have some like strong lyrics talking about like important things for us now, like what we see that is happening today in the world. We're trying to, in our words, try to compensate all that negative energy and try to, I don't know, send small messages to the people, not being like very political, but in very subtle ways, send small messages to the people about what we're living now and today, you know, that it's a little bit sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, that is something I've noticed in all of the music that I know from your different albums. You talk about these themes that that have a lot of, they're about love and sex and politics, but your music always seems to have a more positive spin on it, which is not always easy with a lot of the topics that we deal with in it, you know, in these days.
Yeah, it's crazy because what we like to achieve is making, I don't know, sad. Well, we have one sad song in the, but it's like making sad or emotional or sentimental songs, but that you can dance, you know? So it's like a bit of a contradiction, but it's beautiful because it's while you are dancing and you're in a dance floor or in a party or whatever, you're being told things and emotional, like important, because usually dance music stays like in that level, no? It's only for dancing, and but we try to like combine both worlds, like emotional and trying to give something with the lyrics and at the same time have a good time and be positive and dance. So.
Right, and The Exception is this new track on this album, Duele, with the video that, you know, kind of plays like a real life Dali painting. And it's very unique from a lot of the music that you've put out lately. So talk about what was the influence behind that track, Duele.
Well, it was beautiful. It was one of the first tracks we did for the album in Santa Marta, in La Sierra Nevada. And it was beautiful. The album started with an indigenous ritual. And they came down and they like made us, they like opened us the path for making the album, no? A very like emotional ritual with instruments and playing music and everything. And then after we did the first two songs of the album that were Siembra, that is the first song in the album, and then Duele. So it kind of has that energy of that place, that emotional energy, and that has also like us wanting to play back with traditional instruments again. So we recorded the flute, that is a traditional instrument from folk music in Colombia. And then Liliana just sits down and listens to the music and start writing these lyrics. And when I read them, I was like, wow, this is our first heartbroke song. We always talk about like love and I don't know. So it was kind of different for us, and but at the same time beautiful, because I think love and heartbreak are like the same. Everyone lives through one through another, no? The life is that. You fall in love and then you break and then you fall in love again. So it was beautiful, and it was difficult to release it as a single because obviously for label and everything was too alternative or whatever. But we fight and we got to have it as a single. And we always like to do like different singles, go out with a different thing we've never done before, and then bring the more commercial stuff.
Wait, explain that again. You have singles that will kind of be released on their own, and they are or they're not part of the album, typically?
No, yes, they are part of the album, but we try to like, the single we release for the new album, that has nothing to do with the previous album. Okay. That is like something new for the Bomba Stereo sound or lyrics or whatever. And we always try to do the same, not like to not do the same formula, but to, oh, wow, this is different. And Dan Duele is a very good example of that.
Oh, definitely. And listening to the album, it is a little bit of a detour from the rest of the albums that you've put out. So there is a little bit more, I don't know, some kind of sentimentality or something with all of the tracks. Actually, that's what I wanted to talk about next was one of the delightful tracks that you released as a video that went viral was Soy Yo. I think it went out last year. And it's this wonderful anthem against bullying and just kind of being true to yourself and what makes you unique. And it's, you know, I became a mother last year, and I think Liliana, I don't know how old is her child, and I know that you have a family as well. So thinking about children is always on my mind and what they will have to face. And then there's a reality in this era of Trump that we are seeing entire populations experiencing violence. We're seeing stories about children experiencing bullying in school. So to see this this video being delightful and also very empowering, it was kind of a perfect timing. Tell us about your process with producing it.
Oh, it was a very organic and strange process because, first of all, the first idea wasn't to do that video, but "Tell My Love," that is another song of the album. And we pitched the song in this website that is called Género TV in the internet, that is like a director's pool from all over the world. And you, as a band, you pitch your music and you receive treatments from all over the world, directors and everything. And through that song, we met the director for Soy Yo. But we said, no, we think it's better to do Soy Yo instead of the other. But we told the guy, hey, we're changing the song. Can you do a new treatment for this song? And he, that is a Scandinavian director from Copenhagen that has nothing to do with Latin culture or Colombia or, you know, it's like Nordic. He came with this first idea that was, okay, I listen to the song and I want to do something with kids. And we'll say, yeah, cool, do something in Copenhagen with, I don't know, white kids over there, something different from the Bombasero world and whatever. And the guy said, no, I want to do it with this particular girl in New York, in this particular environment. And we were like, okay, cool, man, go ahead. And he went and shot the very low budget video, because the video was a really low budget. And it basically became like our strongest song ever and the strongest video ever. When he showed it to us, we were like, oh, okay, cool. And then we posted and we released it, and it started to grow and grow and grow and grow. And we did like this campaign in Colombia during the time of the video where, like, we had like very strong issues with the bullying, and some gay kid committed suicide in a school, and it was sensitive, the bullying. So we did like a whole campaign around that. And then here in the States, the girl in the video became like an icon, and it was just in the election, before the election, no? And everyone thought Trump was not winning, so it became kind of an anthem also for the Latin communities here that were not voting for Trump. So it was beautiful, the video, and his vision, because it was his vision, the director's vision, was amazing. Actually, we're doing a new video with him because we love him now. He's like, you're the best director in the world. And I think, especially if you have kids, it's like you start to think from like their perspective, no? So what world are we giving to them, no? So you become more conscious, and you try to, through art, try to change. You're not changing the world, but try to change a little bit some things, or around you, or with the fans, or. And we try to do that with this album. Actually, we have one song that our kids are singing and everything, so it's beautiful.
That was my next question, about how becoming a parent has affected and influenced your music. And I noticed that, is it Vuelve?
Yeah.
Is that the track, or is it your kids who are on it? And Liliana. Oh.
Lots of kids, because we do the choruses with bigger kids from, there's like a music school there in La Sierra Nevada. And they sang like the big choruses, and the babbling is our babies, like, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, I think you just become more conscious about, you get more aware of that music is a way to express and has some kind of responsibility, because music is like the biggest art in the world and it affects people very directly. So if you have some kind of responsibility with that and you manage it good, it's better, no, for everyone. And losing ego, no, I think having kids is losing your own ego and like put your energy into other persons. So that's like an act of humbleness, and that's very beautiful for me. That's the essence of life.
Do you anticipate? Well, actually, let's back up for a second. How do your kids respond to your music? Do they listen? Or are they like, that's my dorky dad's thing?
Well, they respond well. They are babies. They are 2 and 3, so a boy and a girl. So they don't judge. They haven't started to judge, and they don't have a clear taste. They dance, and that's good. They dance to it, and that's good. And they are beginning to recognize that I'm a musician and that I make music, and beginning to understand that concept. But I think they have music in somewhere, because since they were in the belly, they were in concerts and everything, so they have it somewhere, and hopefully they'll be musicians as well. Not lawyers.
I want to go back to talking about some of your musical influences. I know that you're from Bogota, and Liliana is from the Caribbean side of Colombia, isn't she? And
she actually lives kind of near that where we made the album.
Was that the reason for choosing that particular area?
Yeah, one of the reasons, yeah, because that one, and the other is that a very big friend of us that is a New Yorker left his life in New York. He's a music producer. He left like 5 years ago. I don't want more New York. And he went there and he put his recording studio there, and it's an amazing studio. So it's like we have to make the album there. Yeah.
Well, what I was getting at was, from what I understand, this album is sort of a tribute to the indigenous roots of Colombia and to your family. So maybe talk about that, and as well, how you got into this. It's like alternative, electronic, folklorico, and there are a number of influences. So talk about that process.
Yeah, basically, the album is a tribute to, because the process started in this very powerful place. It was like the seed, and actually that's why we use the seeds in the artwork and the conch and everything. It was like the starting point, so it was kind of nonsense not to make references to that, no? Because you will obviously find commercial songs in the album and whatever, and the singles. But the root, the starting point was that, and we're very respectful to that. Yeah, no, basically the music that we make is, I will speak with Liliana, is basically in Colombia we grew up listening to many, many things. Like, we have our very strong folk music that is stronger in the Caribbean where Liliana lives, so she grown up with that. Like all the tropical and the Caribbean music, we have that. But we also grew up listening to rock music, to hip-hop, to electronic, to lots of music in English that comes from the States, because it's a big cultural influence still, no? So you kind of stays in your mind, all those influences, and when you make music, that naturally comes out. And it was kind of nonsense, because I started as I had rock bands, and then I started making electronic, but purely like house music, I don't know, Chicago or Detroit house music, and in the middle I was like, one second, why am I making pure electronic music here in Colombia if they make it better in Chicago or Detroit or London or Berlin, and I have all this dance tradition that is ours in my country, that is also music to dance, what happens if I blend those two dance worlds, no? Like the electronic dance music with our dance music. And it was in the studio, it was just an experiment looking for a sound that would sound too Colombian, like to Colombia, but at the same time the world. And it came, and then Liliana came and she gave all her background and her singing and her female approach to the music. So one thing led to the other. And then we find that sound, and I think now Bomba has its particular sound that you hear, and you know that's Bomba Stereo, that's the style, no? And it's basically a fusion. For me, it's like a triangle between Africa, the Caribbean, and the electronic music. It's like going around that triangle.
Which are like the top three best sounds, so it works out very nicely.
Yeah, for me are the best. For me, African... Everything that comes from Africa is always the best music in the world, and the most dance and emotional music, and no, it's not like depending on fashion, or it just happens, and it has been happening for centuries there, so all my respects to that, yeah.
So as we were saying before, your tour just started a couple of days ago in Seattle, and it's a short tour in the U.S., but it's a very extensive tour around the world, many, many stops, all the way to December. What is it like for you to perform for your fellow Colombians, and what is it like for you to perform in the rest of the world?
I think it's every performance is beautiful. Every live show has something because it's an exchange of energy, you know? I think that the live shows are always an exchange of energy, and I don't believe so much in artists that think that they're doing all the work. You know, I think when you play music live, you put some energy and the crowd puts some energy, and what happens in the middle, that is where the magic happens. So every show has its own thing. Obviously, in Colombia, we have a bigger fan base and people speak Spanish, so they know the lyrics and they sing the lyrics and everything. But we've been very fortunate to always have people dancing in our concerts, either if we are in Northern Europe or here in the States or in Latin America, there's always like dance. So that becomes kind of a universal language. And people express their feelings to our music through dance, even if they don't understand what Liliana is saying. So, but yeah, Latin America is strong, especially because of language, no? Because they, and Latin crowd is like louder, no? They shout more. Mexico and Colombia, but everyone has its own beautiful things. Yeah.
Simon Mejia, thank you so much for joining me on Intersections Radio.
No, thank you very much.
That was my guest, Simon Mejia, of the Colombian electronico band Bomba Estéreo. And we're going to close with the track Duele from their latest album, Ayo. To listen to the podcast of this interview, check out intersectionsradio.wordpress.com. Visit the same website for previous episodes of this podcast. And join the Facebook community at facebook.com/intersectionsradio. You're listening to Intersections Radio. I'm Sarika Mehta. Thanks for listening. Que diga que...